Our text today is John 13, 34 through 35. This is Yeshua talking. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now how will they know that we are Yeshua's disciples? He said it would be by our love for one another. Now, this is not a human love, for human love is actually selfish. This is what I call King's love, or God's love, which is totally unselfish and gives. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. We seem to have forgotten that this is a commandment. And a very important one, because this is the very one that Yeshua said would distinguish us as his disciples. Notice that Yeshua did not say we would be known as his disciples by our knowledge, or by knowing the correct pronunciation of his name, or knowing the right shape of the earth, or any of the other things that some of us have been so zealous for and have actually argued over and split over. He said we would be known as his disciples by our love for one another. You know, we're all very good at learning and honoring God's commandments, seeking to know his will. But this one seems to have fallen by the wayside. We've slowly been losing our focus, especially on the weightier things of the Torah. I've missed it myself many times, so I'm really not condemning anyone. I'm as guilty as forgetting them as the next person, but I do feel that the Holy Spirit is bringing our focus back to loving one another, to how Yeshua loved. He has a love for those who know him, and he has a love for those who don't know him. I'm not judging anyone, don't get me wrong. You know, we have a saying that, not my circus, not my monkeys. It's not my job to judge anyone except myself. But I am saying that we need to take a look at this and refocus on the weightier things of the Torah. And love is the greatest commandment in the kingdom of Elohim. This is a huge area that the enemy attacks, because if he can get us arguing and fighting and snipping and snapping at each other like a bunch of old yard dogs, he'll divide us. He's divided us. And you know, Messiah said, a kingdom divided against itself shall not stand. So we should not be divided. Don't think it strange that HaSatan, our enemy, seeks to divide us in any way. He's very crafty. You know, there's an old story that's been around for years, and it's supposed to be true, about a congregation in the 50s that split over an issue. Guess what that issue was? The issue they split over was about whether Adam and Eve had a belly button. That's, I mean, we think it's funny, but that's just plain ignorant. The members of the congregation involved with fighting each other couldn't see it. But the whole town marveled at how they behaved towards one another. They actually disfellowshipped each other over whether or not Adam and Eve had a belly button. The fight took place before the whole town, and the unbelievers got together and came to the decision they really didn't want anything to do with it, because they got better treatment with their buddies at the honky-tonk. So they weren't going to be going to church. And that's the real tragedy. That's the real tragedy in this. That the unbelievers saw it and turned away from anything having to do with God. Paul instructs us in Titus 3 to avoid foolish controversies, because they are not profitable. Again, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul tells us don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because they produce quarrels. And isn't that really what goes on? You know, I think most of us are aware that there's a relatively new discussion going on among all of us about the real shape of the earth. If you really want to know the shape of the earth, just look around. you'll see it's in bad shape. The earth is in bad shape, and it will only get into good shape when the gospel of the kingdom of Elohim is preached in all the earth. Let me say that again. The earth is in bad shape. That's the real shape of the earth. And when this gospel of the kingdom of Elohim is preached in all the earth, it will get into the right shape. People's lives being changed by the power of God is what it's all about. Not discussions about science or linguistics. As we have we been considering what is the most important thing to our King? Isn't it to preach the gospel of kingdom? Isn't it to tell people about the love of God? Didn't King Yeshua give us the authority in His great name to go into all the world and preach what He preached, the gospel of the kingdom? And it said He went around healing all who were oppressed by the devil, our enemies. If we're to imitate Him, He's our example, then we need to be preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He said, preach the gospel, the good news, and he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who doesn't believe won't. And these signs, signs by the Holy Spirit that confirm with power and demonstration what is being preached is true, shall follow them that believe. And here's the list of the confirming signs done by believers in our King's great name. In His name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it shall not hurt them. And the sick upon whom they lay their hands will recover. Now that's quite a list. Hold Yeshua up before all men, and Yeshua draws them to Himself. The kingdom of Elohim is increased and the kingdom of darkness is decreased. And what does that prove? That our King is stronger than anything the enemy can throw at us. Distractions lead to us losing our focus on Yeshua and His desires. And when we lose our focus on Yeshua and His mandate to us to go to all the world and preach the gospel, it makes us ineffective for the kingdom of Elohim, and it hinders the work Yeshua has called us to do in His great name. Let's look at our text again. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I had some people say to me that they didn't understand why Messiah called this a new commandment, and I had, you know, questioned that myself, so I really got to looking at this scripture, and when we take a closer look, He didn't say just to love one another. He didn't say to love your neighbor as yourself in Leviticus 9, like it says in Leviticus 19:18. He said to love one another even as I have loved you. That's where the difference is. How are we to love one another as He loved us? Well, then we ask the question, how did He love us? Yeshua loved us so much that while we were still His enemies, He came and died a horrible death. He shed His blood that we might have the life in His blood. While we were still His enemies, He did that. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep had gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That means we were rebellious. And Jehovah hath laid on Him, Yeshua, the iniquity the punishment for our rebellion was laid on him. That's the King's love we are to imitate. Now turn with me to Romans 5, and we'll start with verse 6. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Who did Yeshua die for? The ungodly, the people who needed him. Not the righteous, but the ungodly. Verse 7. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Yeshua, through whom we now have received the reconciliation. We have been reconciled to God through our Lord Yeshua, and we're to go tell the world about it. But don't you think we should put away our differences and be reconciled one to another first, so we can be in unity for the glory and honor of our King's great name, and hold him up in honor before all men? 2 Corinthians 18:21 says we are ambassadors for Messiah, and we have been given the message of reconciliation to tell others. You know, believe it or not, sinners know they're sinners. They just don't know the way to be anything else. But Yeshua is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, Behold, if anyone is in Messiah, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Did you know we're a new creature? Never existed before. We no longer have the sin nature. We now have the nature in God in us, and we are able to love as Yeshua loves, because it's God's love within us that loves. You ever walked up to someone and said, Good morning, I'm a new creature. I'm a new creature. They'll probably say, What kind of creature are you? They'll do one of two things. They'll either move away from you real quick, or they'll be curious and ask you what you're talking about. If they ask, you can tell them what Yeshua has done for you. You can tell them how your life has changed for the better. You can tell them that he has made you a new creature, and that they can be a new creature too. Because, you know, let them know that he will do the same for them, because he's not a respecter of persons. And that just means what he'll do for one, he'll do for all who come to him. That gives people hope. That's what the good news is all about. When Yeshua comes in, lives are changed. People are delivered from the cycle of sin, which has been their lives, and delivered from the domain of Hasatan. Colossians 1:13 says, God rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have forgiveness of sins. You know, I used to sit in the Catholic Church, and when the priest would say something about the good news of the gospel, I remember one day I sat there and I said, What's so good about it? I can still see myself sitting there today when I asked God that question. God heard that question and he answered the call of my heart. I don't have time to give all the details of it, and a lot of y'all have heard my testimony. But God supernaturally revealed himself to me as my Father. For the first time in my life, I knew I had a Father and someone loved and cared about me. I had a lady praying for me who knew about the authority we have in Yeshua's great name, knew about God, knew how to get a hold of God, and she was praying and interceding for me. That's why prayer is so important in a believer's life. And it was because of those prayers that God was able to supernaturally reveal himself to me. People would come to me and say, God loves you. But I'd never really experienced love, so I've told people before that it was like trying to explain the color blue to someone born blind. I didn't have a concept. And so because of those prayers and the power of God, he revealed himself to me as my Father. And that's the relationship he wants to have with us. The relationship with us as a Father, Abba, Father. By the Holy Spirit, we can say, Abba, Father. 1 John 3:1 says, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and that is what we are. You know, when I first came into the kingdom of his love, I didn't know anything about rules and regulations that were his ways. But you know, Yeshua is a very good fisherman. He catches his fish first, and then he cleans them. And as I had begun to read the Word, I came across a scripture that I needed a little cleaning up on. And that was 1 John 4, 20-21. You know how sometimes we read a scripture and we go, wished I hadn't read that one. Because we know we're going to have to change. Well, 1 John 4, 20-21 says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have for him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. And I really struggled with that because I knew I loved God, my Father. He'd revealed himself to me. But I didn't like people at that time. God's changed me. But at that time, I didn't trust people. My experiences with them had been that they had hurt me and they'd been mean. They'd made fun of me, told me I talked too much, I didn't dress right, just anything they could do to cut me down. Because that's the way of the world, trying to cut each other down so you can feel better about yourself. So I took it to my papa. And I told him, I said, this says I can't love you, whom I've not seen, and say I hate my brother, who I do see. You know, like God didn't already know it was written in his Word. You know, we need to just get honest with God and not play games with him. We'd see more answers to our questions in our prayers. You know, there are actually some people who think if we don't tell God about our sins, he doesn't know they exist. He's just really, he knows they're there. He's just waiting for us to confess them so he can help us. And that's what he did with me. I struggled with this because I knew I loved him and I didn't like people and I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know, you know, what to do. And God gave me a vision. He showed me a barren brown desert and this gentle rain was falling on it. And as the rain fell on this desert, it became this lush, verdant green, grasses and vegetation all over. And then it zoomed in, the vision zoomed in, and I saw a puddle. And the puddle got larger and larger as the rain continued to fall down. And then it began to go out in streams. And God told me, he said, you're the desert. And the rain is my love. And when you're full of my love, it will be my love that goes out to people. Isn't that just beautiful about how our Heavenly Father helps us? The Word tells us that the love of God, the God kind of love, has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which has been given us. That's Romans 5:5. And the love of God, King's love, constrains us, or as we would say today, controls us. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, that about, that we are being controlled by God's love. Turn with me to John 3:14. Actually, John 1:14. We know. What is it we know, John? That we have passed out of death into life. Why? Because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. See, when we come to God, He gives us His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings life to us. And if you go over there to Galatians, there's a list of the fruit that is born, that the Holy Spirit brings into our human spirit. And the very first one is love. We've been given love by the Holy Spirit. And it's fruit. We're supposed to let that fruit grow as we abide in Him and He abides in us. We are to show the world that Yeshua is the way, the truth, and the life. Unless they see our King and His love in us and among us, they won't be drawn to Him. And I'm telling you, there's a whole world full of people out there who are looking for someone who loves them. Looking for someone who cares for them. Yeshua said, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And yet Yeshua did more than that. He laid down his life for his enemies. The Holy Spirit says to us at the close of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, follow after love. 1 John 4 says, God is love. So following after love is following after God. Love is a fruit. Let us continue to abide in Yeshua. Let His word abide in us so that we can bear much fruit for His kingdom, for the honor of His great name. Let this fruit of love come forth in our lives. You know, fruit is not for the tree. Fruit is not for the vine. Fruit is for others. I'll close with this. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Brethren, let us walk in that love. Let us show forth the love of our King, our Master, our Savior, to a dying, hurting world, that they may have the joy of knowing Him like we do. Until next week, Shalom.